Someone was telling me earlier that not anybody from this church, but somebody was telling me online actually that what they think kids need more today is more fellowship, more parties, and more games. And I said, what kids need today is more doctrine, more sound teaching, more Bible, and more character and things that'll build their character. Because they live in a world in which character is going to be essential. Good character is going to be essential if they're going to make it. They're going to have strong character. So that's what we're trying to do, is build good character. Help the parents to build good character in these kids. That's what we want to do. This morning, we are in Matthew chapter 25, and we're looking at the parable of the talents. And somebody's going to say, well, Pastor, you already preached on that once. You've only been here 2 years, and you've already preached on that once. Yeah, I did. But, you know, I wanted to preach two sermons on it back then, so I'm going to pick it up this time. I'm going to talk about it again. There is a lot to learn from this parable. It's in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. And I want to watch a video before we get into this. And this is a visual Bible video. We watch one of these every Wednesday night from the Gospel of John. And we're going to see this parable from the Gospel of Matthew. And so I'm going to ask Clyde if he'd play that for us.
Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5.
Master,
he said,
you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more.
His master replied,
well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
The man with the 2 talents also came.
Master,
he said,
you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more.
His master replied,
well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things.
Come and share your master's happiness.
Then the man who had received the 1 talent came.
Master,
he said,
I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.
His master replied,
you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay, this was a parable that Jesus told, and of course this is actors acting out the story. And the talent, a lot of people think that when we're talking about talent here, that we're talking about people's abilities. But no, a talent was a measure of money or a measure of weight. You know how they have the English pound, and the English pound, a pound is a measure of weight, but a pound is also a measure of money. Well, the talent was like that. The talent was a measure of weight, and it was also a measure of money. Over the years, the word talent has come to mean something different, but that was the meaning in the text. It was a measure of money. Not only was it a measure of money, but one talent was 1 year's salary. So when this master was leaving and going on this far journey, and he was going to be gone for a long time, when he left, he gave one of his servants 5 years worth of salary. And he gave another one 2 years worth of salary. And he gave a third one 1 year's worth of salary. The point I want you to start with, first point, number one, is everybody got something. Everybody got something. It says to every man, he gave according to his ability. Every man, everybody got something. So, in this parable, I think we see three different classes of people. I think we have represented here, first of all, the upper class, the five-talent man. He is the rich man. He has much more than the rest of them do. He got 5 years worth of salary one day, and he could handle it. And then we have the middle class. They got 2 talents. And this is similar to the working man in society today who works for a living and earns enough to make a good life and a good living. And then last of all, we have the 1 talent person. He only got 1 year's worth of wages when the others got 5 and 2. The 1 talent man represents the poor and struggling man in society. But whatever your economic level, you get something. Everybody gets something. May not be much. If you're a 1 talent person, it might not be much. But you get something. Whatever your economic level, Jesus included you in this story. And Jesus calls you to take a risk in this parable. Take a risk. Did you know it normally takes a new Christian at least 18 months before they learn how to give? 18 months. You know why? Because giving is hard to learn to do. It's not easy. People don't want to do it. Giving is a difficult lesson to learn. And I am never surprised when people struggle with giving. Honestly, I don't know what people give. I don't even look at it. There are 2 people in this church who know how much you give. And I won't point them out to you this morning, but I am not one of them. If you think a little bit about it, we have a treasurer and then we have a secretary, and they know what's going on. The rest of us really don't. We don't care to know what you give. What I care about is that you do what God leads you to do. That's all. I don't know what you give. I don't know what you don't give. But I do know that God calls you to take a risk and give. Learning to give means learning to take a risk with your money. That's really what it means. It means you're going to risk giving your money to God and having faith that he will be faithful to fulfill his promise to cause all grace to abound towards you, that you would have all sufficiency to abound in every good work that he would give back to you, that he would continue to supply because you gave. That you would sow a seed into God's field expecting that God will fulfill his promise and that you would eventually reap a harvest. It's a risk. Everything we do is a risk. Now, some risks are easier than others. When you get in your car and you go to work, it's a risk because the place where you go to work could go out of business and not pay you. But you don't expect them to do that. And so it's a very low, low, low risk. But it's still a risk. Did you know that they shut down a bunch of Walmarts recently? And the people that got shut down, their Walmarts got shut. No, it wasn't Walmart. It was their Sam's Clubs. That's what it was. They shut down a bunch of Sam's Clubs recently, and the people that worked at those Sam's Clubs, they got hardly any notice. There was a manager in one of those Sam's Clubs that showed up to work and found the doors locked. And that's how he found out his job was over. I mean, you think that some business like Sam's Club could afford to do better than that? We take a risk when we go to work, don't we? When we invest our time and we invest our effort and we invest our money in things, we take a risk. It's always a risk. And some risks are better than other risks. But it's always a risk. And when you give to God, it's a risk. But the risk when you're trusting God according to his word is backed up by his promise. But it's difficult to learn that. It's difficult to trust that. No, it's good. It's difficult to trust that. So learning to give means learning to take a risk with your money. And everybody in this parable got something, and everybody gets something. And even the one talent man was expected to do something with what he got. Point number two, everybody got something appropriate. Now, this is a very, very tacky thing to me. But still, I mean, I don't want to hear this. Because I'm not a five-talent person. I hope I'm a two-talent person, but I may not be. I may be a one-talent person as far as money is concerned. But my point is, everybody got something. And everybody got something appropriate. In Matthew 25:15, it says, to every man it was given according to his several ability. It was given according to his ability. So the master divided the money according to their abilities. He knew. Obviously he knew, because he gave only one talent to the guy that didn't bring anything with him. The master obviously knew that guy pretty well because he only gave him one talent. The master probably said, I don't want to trust him with anything, but I'll trust him with one and we'll just see how it turns out. The master divided the money according to their abilities. Each servant received a different amount according to his ability, and no one received more or less than he could handle. Obviously, the master knew those servants. Amen? The servant with the least was the one who let him down. The different sums of money reveal that God knows each of us individually too. God knows our different circumstances. He knows our different personalities. And what he gives to each person is exactly what that person can handle. Let that sink in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." And I'm sorry, I forgot to put that in the overhead. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." He won't tempt you or test you above what you're able. He won't give you what you can't handle. He doesn't put a shotgun in the hands of a five-year-old because he knows the five-year-old will blow up the house. He gives us what we can handle. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we're capable of doing. You know, I remember watching my daughters when they were learning to swim. We had four kids, and all of them learned to swim. But I can remember one of them in particular, Martha, when she was learning how to swim, I was holding her and helping her, and I let her go, and I expected her to swim to me. Boy, she started fighting the water. Her eyes got huge. She was scared. She started coughing and drinking in the water. I mean, she was just terrified of it. And I was right there. Of course, I reached over and grabbed her and helped her. As long as she could hold on to something, everything was okay. But stepping out, taking that risk, was difficult. I knew she could swim. She didn't know she could swim. I knew she would float. She didn't know she would float. She had to learn. And giving is sort of like that. God knows that we can give. And he knows he'll get us through it. But taking the risk and stepping out and trying to start learning how to give is tough. In the meanwhile, God said, "Come on, come on, you can do it. You can do it. I got you. I got you. It's going to be all right." You know, if there was no risk in giving, it wouldn't take any faith. You hear me? If there was no risk, it wouldn't take any faith to give. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm going to start giving as soon as I get all my bills paid." Good luck with that. There's going to be more bills coming. I'll guarantee it. "I'll start giving as soon as I get all my bills paid." But you know what? If they get all their bills paid and they don't owe a dime to anybody else and then they start giving, what kind of faith is required to do that? To give when it doesn't hurt. To give when there's no risk. What kind of faith is involved in that? None. When we invest in God, we give up control. We're letting God take care of it. He's promised an increase on our money when we give, but when we cannot see it, it's tough. You know, those of you, I don't know how many of you, or if any of you even, invest in bonds or the stock market or those kinds of things, but especially if you invest in the stock market, you can watch it every day. You can get a little app on your phone, and you know what the stock market is doing every minute of every day. And if it starts going down, zap, you know, you got your money out of there. You got control. Low risk. But given with God, there's no little thing you can hold in your hand that tells you when it's going up or down out there. You just have to trust him. It's a risk. It's a risk. You know, when I told this sermon before, I used the story about a guy that had a son at, I think it was Georgia Tech. And when he put his son in college, he bought a house for his son to live in that house. And then he rented out the other four rooms in the house to other college kids. And that made the payments on the house. And then, when his son graduated from college, he sold the house and he doubled his investment on it and used the money that he made off of selling the house to pay off all of his son's college bills. Now, that's the way a five-talent man works. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. And my wife had said, shoot, I would not have found that guy. But that's the way a five-talent man works. A two-talent man, his son's off to college, and he's still paying those college bills years later. But each of us has abilities. You know, they say that a person who is destined to be wealthy, you can take everything that he has away from him. If he's good at using money, you can take everything he has, and he'll be wealthy again within a couple of years. Just like that. He can start out again with nothing, and he'll get his wealth all right back because he knows how to do it. He's not afraid to take, and he takes good risks, knows what to do with it. Well, when we invest in the kingdom of God, that investment is a risk. And learning how to take the risk is a lesson that pays a lot of benefits in the long run in your spiritual growth. Someone was asking me Wednesday night about Mark 10:25 says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And we kind of get hung up on that. And some people say, well, that means that nobody's going to heaven. At least no rich people. No, that's not what it means, because the eye of a needle was the name of a gate in Jerusalem. And a camel could go through there if you unloaded the camel. But it was a very narrow gate and a short gate, and you better get all the stuff off of that camel if you wanted to get him through that gate. And so Jesus said, it's not easy for a rich man to get into heaven, but he can do it. And I know some rich men that I believe have gone to heaven. J.C. Penney was one of those rich guys. J.C. Penney gave most of the money that he gave over 50% of the money he received, he gave back to God and funded missions. And so there have definitely been some rich men that I believe have made it into heaven. Turneau, is that the guy's name that made all of these huge equipment? Do you remember? Is that how you pronounce that name? Turneau? Huh? Okay. At any rate, he was another Christian that gave a great deal of his wealth back to God. Tither and a giver over and above the tithe. Great giver. So I know there are rich men that make it to heaven. But if we take just Mark 10:25 about it being easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom, we'd all say, well, that five talent guy, he's just not going to make it into heaven. Here's a parable that ought to be a source of encouragement to us as Americans. Because honestly, if you live in a third world country where you only have a cardboard shack to live in, You probably think all Americans are five-talent people. In this parable, the rich man is the hero. In the parable of the talents, the rich man is the hero. The owner said to the rich man, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He's the hero. God entrusted you with wealth, though, and he didn't do that to just have you indulge it, not just to hoard it up, but to put it into circulation where it does some good. God wants you to use your wealth for good. Now, I'm going to say more about that before we are done. But I'm going to go to the next point. Everybody, point number three, everybody got something appropriate for usage. They were expected to use it. Everybody got something appropriate for usage. Everybody got something. Everybody got something appropriate. Everybody got something appropriate for usage. In Matthew 25:21, to the man with 10 talents, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Matthew 25:23, to the man with 4 talents, who had 2 and has 4 now, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Same thing he said to the guy that took 5 and went to 10. To the guy with only 1 talent, in Matthew 25:26, he said, "Thou wicked and slothful," or lazy, "servant," because he just took it and buried it. He didn't work it. He didn't use it. He didn't invest it. When the master returned, another thing I want you to notice here, when the master returned, the person with 1 talent didn't try to say, "What money? What are you talking about? What money? You didn't give me any money." Nobody tried to say that. I hear a lot of people try to tell me that. "What money are you talking about? I ain't seen no money." Well, I know everybody has something. You may not have as much as other people, but everybody has something. Everybody got something. And everyone did something with what he got. Some did good, some did bad, but everybody did something. Now, the rich man that received the 5 talents, the Lord said to him, "You got 10 talents and you didn't even share with that person who had 1? What's the matter with you?" Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said at all, is it? Oh, wait. He said, "You know, I got 5 talents. And I went down to the casino, and I put all 5 talents on red, and I spun the wheel, and I got 10. Is that what it says? That's a risk, isn't it? Yeah? Oh, wait, it wasn't that. He went down to the casino, and he went to the blackjack table, and he says, "I'm putting all 5 talents on this one hand, because I'm lucky, and today's my lucky day. I got 5 talents, and I'm so lucky, I'm going to get 10. Is that what happened? No, I don't think that's what happened either. We are supposed to take risks with our money, but there are some risks that just aren't worth taking. You're going to lose. The odds are against you. I've always told my kids and my family, you know, I used to be a pretty good math whiz. When I was in high school, I got a scholarship to Texas Tech University to take courses in petroleum engineering, and it was because of my trigonometry teacher talking to certain people to get that scholarship for me. I turned it down and went to Bible college instead, but I was okay with math, and I know enough math to know that at least in New Mexico, you were more likely to be struck by lightning than you were to win the lottery. That's the odds. And I've always looked at the lottery as a tax on the people who are mathematically challenged. Because It's set. The odds are set against you. And if you go into the casino, it's the same deal. Those casinos are not in business to lose money. Those casinos are not in business to give $1,000 to everybody that walks the door. That's not how it works. They want you to give them that money rather than them give you their money. And the odds are you're going to give them your money. You're not going to get theirs. That's just the way it's set up. You go into a casino, you start gambling, it's a risk, folks, and you're probably going to lose. The odds are against you. It's a high risk. When you give to God, the risk is much, much lower. Because Almighty God can handle his promises. Problem is, he doesn't do it right away. It's sort of like planting a crop, you know. You go out and you plant some corn and you go back out the next day. You know, we have a corn farmer back. Do you get a crop the next day after you plant it, Carlson? Yeah. How long does it take after you plant normally to get a crop up? About 95 to 100 days. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. But it's not the next morning. Well, when we invest in God, we want it to be here the next morning, but that's not how God works. God works sort of like he does with corn. It takes a while. You sow the seed, and eventually you reap the harvest. It's not instant. It is on its way. That's how it works. God will fulfill his promise. God will do what he said he will do. So, it's not all that risky. As I said earlier, for a rich five-talent person to invest his money in certain ways. It's normal today for a rich man to invest and make money off of his money. He puts it in an investment that he can watch, that he can keep track of. He monitors it daily. He moves it if it begins to lose money. The real risk is to give it away and trust God to return it. That's the real risk. And that's where the rich man today has struggle. The Bible says we're laying up treasure in heaven. So the rich upper class man, the five talent man, this five talent servant here, he took his money, he took a risk with it, and he doubled it. And the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, the middle class two talent servant did the same thing. I think that might be me. He had different investments from the five-talent upper-class rich man. He could not afford some of the same invest as the upper-class rich man, but he did what he could afford, and he doubled his master's investment. And the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The exact commendation was given to both. The master did say to the rich man, "You did the best, so you're my favorite." He says the exact same thing to both of, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm positive the same would have been said to the one talent person if he had done the same thing. I know it's risky to give, particularly for two talent people, and most especially for one talent people. We all have bills, so some don't think they can afford to give. Seems to me that the real risk requiring real faith is when you give even though you think you cannot afford. That's a risk. It's a big risk, and it takes a lot of faith. A lot of faith. I talked last week about koinonia, about fellowship, and I shared with you that fellowship is a partnership. And a church is a fellowship. A church, the Greek word fellowship is koinonia. And that word koinonia means partnership. I proved that by showing you a couple of verses where it was translated partner. And I told you that the real proof of our partnership, one of the real proofs of our partnership, is when we give. Because we're showing that we all care about the gospel. We show that we care about the furthering of God's kingdom when we put our money on the line and we give. We're partners together in this. We're partners together in keeping the lights on. We're partners together in paying the heating bill. You're partners together in paying your pastor's salary. You're partners in that. And you show your partnership when you give in the offering. You show your fellowship, your koinonia with your brothers and sisters by joining together, partnering with them to accomplish these things, these tasks. And I'm telling you today that it's not just a partnership with brothers and sisters. It's not just about koinonia. It's also trusting and having faith that God will do what he said he will do. And God expects us to take that risk with what he's given us. One of the things that I want you to notice about this parable is that even the man with one talent recognized that it was his master's money. They all recognized that it was the master's money. And we need to all recognize that God is the one who gives us the power to get wealth. And ultimately, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And since he's the one who gives us the power to get wealth, and since every good and perfect gift comes from him, why can't we trust him and risk it a little bit and give some back to him and see what happens? He gave it to us. He wants us to take a risk. And he will show you what it's like when you set your fear aside, have faith, and take that risk. So the one talent man was condemned for his poor stewardship. And they said, take the one talent from him, give it to the one who has ten. Throw that wicked servant outside in the darkness. I don't think that the master was pleased with that guy. And I really don't think God's pleased with us when we are stingy and when we refuse to give. I think this parable teaches us to take a risk. I think it teaches us about accountability. And the parable teaches that being poor does not exempt us from giving. We're to spend wisely. Everybody is to give something. Our church this morning, I believe, I don't know, because I don't know what people give, I don't know what people make, I don't know enough about any of you to know how much money you have or don't have, I don't know. But I'm guessing that our church probably has some five-talent people. I don't know. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I'm guessing that our church has some two-talent people. And I'm guessing that our church has some one-talent people. I don't know. But I do know something about our church. If we were to rate our church in terms of five-talent church or a two-talent church or a one-talent church, I would say our church is a one-talent church. Our church doesn't have a lot of money. This church budget is about one-tenth of the budget of the last church I was at. I came here because I love you guys. I didn't come here for money. But I'm not saying that to put this church down. Give me just a second. Well, I can't pull them down. If you just listen to me for a second, we have Larry and Rhonda Allen, Glenn and Nancy Garrison, Mary Mahon, Mark and Frida Alston, Norm and Heather Edwards, Dan and Erlene Ligon, Gary and Ruth Kirchhoff, Larry and Sharon Smith, David and Jeannie Wallace, Joy Yark, Don and Melba Exley. We have Janie Weed Mobley, Russell and Anna Weaver. We have all of their pictures back here on this wall, and we support all of them. And one of the reasons why I came to this church was because I knew this church didn't have a lot of money, but I knew that this church uses their money to spread the gospel. They're investing in the kingdom. And that's how we have to be. We have to take a risk. We don't know what those missionaries are doing with that money. We don't know. But we give it to God. We don't just give it to them. We give it to God. And God's in charge of what they do with that money. And if they don't do the right thing with that money, God's going to get them. I would much rather give to somebody that seemed like they had a need and take a chance that maybe they were scamming me than to not give to somebody that seemed like they had a need and me lose out on the opportunity to be a blessing. And it's the same way with our missionaries. I trust all of them because I believe that the World Missions Organization of the Assemblies of God does good at keeping track of their missionaries and that they are all doing what they're supposed to be doing. I believe that. I'm not trying to put any of them down. I'm just saying it's a risk. It is a risk. But it is a very considered and small risk. And it is a worthwhile risk that we would spread the gospel. Because, folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We want to reach our community. We want to reach our state. We want to reach our nation. We want to reach our world with Jesus Christ. And we have to risk some money to do that. And the good thing is, when we take that risk, we're risking it with God. And when we risk it with God, I don't know if we can trust him. What do you think? You better believe we can trust him. You better believe we can trust him. So even though we don't have a lot of money around here, we're investing it in the kingdom. We're using it. We may be a one-talent church, but you know what? We're investing that talent, and we're using it to the best of our ability. Amen. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the leadership of this church. And I hope we can all learn a lesson from this church, that even though we don't have much, we can still give something. We can still do something. Amen? Because it's really all about Jesus. And we want to share him with our world. Stand with me.